Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace.
I'm justified not because I do everything right, but because I put faith in Jesus, and Jesus' holiness makes me holy, not my holiness. My holiness is a fruit, not the root of my relationship with God.
And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today is the beginning of my third week teaching through the book of Romans, and we have a brand new book out on that. As you can see, this is quite a deal. It's very similar to my Proverbs commentary. And so this not only has the printed text, but then it has my living commentary, which is a digital commentary that I've been working on for many decades. We've got 26,000 verses that I've included in there. And we've included those verses that cover the book of Romans in here. So there's like actually two commentaries. Much of it overlaps, but I never say the same thing the same way. So anyway, this is a great offer. I'm really excited about that. And we're offering also that living commentary that I was talking about. And we're also offering some grace encounters. We'll give you more detail at the end of our program about that. But this teaching through the book of Romans is just tremendous. This is what I call Paul's masterpiece on grace. You know, he taught on grace in Galatians, but in Galatians, it was kind of like he was angry. I'm not sure that he was angry, but he was hard at very least. And he started off by saying, "Who bewitched you? You know, if anybody preaches any other gospel than that which I've preached unto you, let him be accursed." And I mean, he just takes the gloves off and is brutal with the teaching on grace, and it covers a lot of the same stuff. But in the book of Romans, it's more of a scholarly approach. It's just taking the goodness of God and just systematically going through and comparing it with the Old Testament law. And if you read the book of Romans and if you understand it, I guarantee you, it will deliver you from religion. I take no pleasure in saying this, but the vast majority of Christian religion today is living under the old covenant. They don't have a revelation of the New Testament grace. And the book of Romans, Galatians, and Hebrews, if you understood those three books, I guarantee you it would just totally deliver you from that. So if Romans isn't one of your favorite books in the Bible, it's because you don't really have a revelation of the gospel. This is what Paul started off saying in Romans chapter 1, verse 17 and 16 and 17. And I'm not going to go back and reteach the last 2 weeks, but just to summarize, he talked, it's the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. There's many truths related to God, and some of them aren't good news. Some of them are that we are a sinner and that without Jesus, we're headed to hell. All of those things are true, but that's not good news. The gospel is specifically talking about the good news is what sets people free. And then in Romans 1, 18 through 20, it talks about the reason you don't have to just hammer people about how bad they are is because there is an intuitive knowledge on the inside of every person of their sinfulness and their falling short of what God wanted them to be. Then in the last part of Romans chapter 1, it tells you about progressive steps that people can take away from this intuitive knowledge of God, and they can ultimately get to a place to where the Bible calls them reprobate, where their conscience is seared with the hot iron and they have no more conviction of sin. Then in Romans chapter 2, it talks about that the religious people have no right to judge the non-religious, because when they do that, it shows that they also come under the same condemnation. Romans chapter 3 says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and it reveals that the only way to have a relationship with God is through faith in what Jesus did, not through trying to earn relationship with God. Boy, these are huge statements, and this is what I've spent 2 weeks saying here on our program. And then in Romans chapter 4 is where Paul took two of the greatest examples in the Old Testament, Abraham, who is the first Jew, the father of all of the Israelites, and David. These are two of the central figures, and he shows that it was not their righteousness, their goodness, that made them have a relationship with God. And you know, really, this should go without saying. If anybody was to really think about it, David committed adultery and murdered a man trying to cover up his adultery. He wasn't perfect. And yet the Bible calls him a man after God's own heart. He prophesied that there was coming a day that God would not impute people's sins unto them. Not just did not or does not, but would not, even in the future. I've already talked about these things. And so Romans chapter 4 is using these two great patriarchs of the Old Testament to show that they didn't have a relationship with God because they did everything right. Abraham is a man that lied about his wife twice and was willing to let other people take his wife and commit adultery with her so he could save his own neck. I'm not condemning him, but I'm saying that that wasn't a righteous thing to do. It says that Abraham found grace in the sight of the Lord. His faith was counted unto him for righteousness. Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. And so that's what we've already covered. And if you've followed all of these things up until this point, it has made a powerful, powerful point that faith is what produces our relationship with God, not our performance. So we're picking back up in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. And that verse says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." The word "therefore," you know, this is an old saying that I learned when I was a kid, but it always comes to me when I read this word, and it really is apropos and it makes you think about it. But when you see the word "therefore," you need to look and see what it's there for. And when it says "therefore," this is referring back to all of these things, specifically Abraham and David, showing that it wasn't their goodness that caused God to have a relationship with them. It was the grace of God, and they received it by faith. So in Romans 5:1, it says, "Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Let me just point this out, that the only way you can ever really have peace in your relationship with God is if you put faith in Jesus and not in yourself. And I know that there's some people watching this that probably think, "Oh, you don't know me. I'm really good. Man, I'm doing great. I'm living holy. I don't dip or cuss or chew or go with those that do." And you are proud of how you're living. I tell you what, when you stand before God, the Scripture says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They didn't just come short of my standard or somebody else's standard. They have come short of the glory of God, which Jesus is the glory of God. And if you were to ever see the glory of Jesus, you would recognize that you come up short. You know, today I'm making these programs way in advance of when you see them. But today is actually the 53rd anniversary of the day that God changed my life. I had been born again 63 years ago today. And I was seeking God and I lived for God and I was living a relatively holy life, but I thought that I was deserving of God's blessing. My dad died when I was 12 years old and I spent weeks praying for him. I even fasted as an 11-year-old. Praying that my dad would be healed, and he wasn't. I had other people. My grandmother, who raised me for a period of time, she died when I was only 8 years old. I had a girl that I was unofficially engaged to that died. And I had all of these people. I was believing God, and I was praying, and yet I wasn't seeing anything happen. I was frustrated, but I really thought, "God, You aren't treating me right. I deserve better. I'm living better than this." And I won't go through the whole thing. But in a Saturday night prayer meeting, God showed up and I saw the glory of God. I saw His holiness. And even though I was living better than anybody I knew, and I'm not saying that in a prideful way, but I mean, I was living better than anybody I knew, better than the pastors of the church. I mean, I was giving it everything I had, but when I saw the glory of God, I realized that all of my righteousness was like a filthy rag. I think that's Isaiah 64, 6, somewhere around there. And I realized relative to God that I was a religious Pharisee. I was a hypocrite. And man, I repented in sackcloth and ashes. And so I'm saying to those of you who think that, man, you are really doing good and that God owes you something, first of all, you haven't really seen the glory of God, or you would never take that approach. You would never approach God like, "God, You owe me this. I fasted, I prayed, I did this, this, and this. Now You have to move." Any person who says that has never had an intimate encounter with God, or you would never say that. And if for some reason, during just a brief period of time, you have done everything right and you're feeling really good about yourself, it's kind of similar to being on a treadmill. You know, today I was running on a treadmill and man, I was tired. I pushed myself. And even though I was keeping up with the pace, if I had stopped for just a second, that thing would have shot me off. I actually did that one time and got spun across a gymnasium floor and stuff. I was trying to pick up a towel and forgot what I was doing. And so anyway, my point is that if you think that you can earn God's favor and you're doing all of these things, there isn't any rest. There's no peace to you in that, because even if you've done everything right and today you feel like you're just awesome, I can guarantee you tomorrow is coming. And then the next day. And you eventually, you are not going to be able to keep up that pace. Eventually, you just cannot perform. We are fallen human beings. And if you don't sin directly out of rebellion towards God, you're going to sin through omission, not just commission. And you're going to make a mistake. And then all of your world come crashing down around you because it was built upon you. The only way to have peace with God is through faith in what Jesus did for you. And I tell you, I just feel in my heart that there's people all over the world right now that what I'm describing is the way you've been living. You want to please God. You want to be accepted by God. You want to see God's blessing in your life, but the burden is upon you and you are just weighted down and you are worn out. You need to rest, but you can't rest, because then you wouldn't be deserving. I'm telling you that there is a rest for the people of God. You can get to a place to where you don't relate to God based on your goodness, but you do it based on what Jesus did for you. And the only thing you have to contribute is your faith. Just trust and believe in what Jesus did. It's not what you do for Jesus. It's what He did for you. In the next verse, it says, in whom, talking about in Jesus, we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You know, I've been preaching a lot about the grace of God. That's what the whole book of Romans is about, is that you don't get what you deserve. You get what Jesus deserves and you access it by faith. And so when I preach on grace, matter of fact, I just had one of my graduates who's over in Vietnam, and they just got blackballed by a denomination, and it's because of their association with me. And they sent me this list of all of the things that I'm wrong on. And I read it, and it was basically, they are saying that because I preach in the grace of God, that I'm encouraging people to sin, and I don't believe that you're supposed to live a holy life. That's not what I'm saying at all. And now, in the sixth chapter, we are going to make this point so clear, I don't think anybody can miss it. But this verse right here is really a great balance to teaching about the grace of God, because it says you have access by faith into this grace. Did you know that the word access here, the Greek word that is used, it's the exact word that we get admission from. If you go to a movie, you have to buy a ticket, an admission ticket, and it costs you money. So you have to have access. You buy that ticket, and that gives you access to the movie. Well, God's grace is something that He's done for you, independent of you. It was done 2,000 years ago. The Bible says that we beheld Jesus full of grace and truth. God's grace was commended towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We'll get to that verse in just a few minutes. That happened 2,000 years ago. And so grace is something God did for you independent of you, 2,000 years before you or I were even born. And by definition, grace is unearned, undeserved, unmerited favor. If there was anything you had to do to qualify to receive the grace of God, then it wouldn't be grace. Grace is completely separate from you. It has nothing to do with you. And some people have taken those statements that I've just made and thought, well, then therefore it doesn't matter what I do. Well, it doesn't matter as far as God's grace is concerned, but we have access to grace through faith. Grace is what God does for you independent of you. Faith is what you do in response to God's grace. And I've got a great teaching on this entitled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith. I'm not going to go there because I could teach on that for a couple of weeks. But let me just mention that it's God's grace is the same towards everybody. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 says, "The grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared unto all men." Every person that has ever breathed on this planet had the grace of God extended towards them. But not every person is set free. Not every person is born again. Not every person is going to heaven. Jesus even made it clear that there would be more people that enter in by the broad gate unto destruction than there are who enter by the narrow gate unto eternal life. So the vast majority of people aren't receiving God's grace. Why? It's not because God isn't extending it. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men. It's because not everybody responds positively to what God has done by grace. That's what faith is. Faith is our positive response to God's grace. It is not something we do to gain a positive response from God. Yeah, that's awesome. I know that that went right over the heads of many people. Grace does not, or let me say it this way, faith does not gain a positive response from God. That's what a lot of people teach, that faith moves God. If you'll do this and this and this, then God will do this. God does not respond to your faith. God, in anticipation of any problem that you could ever have, including sin, sickness, disease, poverty, depression, discouragement, needing the will of God, the leading, anything that you could ever need, God has anticipated whatever needs you could ever have. And before the need existed, God created the supply. God, by grace, has provided salvation for everyone, whether they take it or not. He has provided healing for everyone, whether they take it or not. He has provided joy and peace and deliverance. You don't have to do something to get God to release His grace towards you. Grace has already been released, and faith is not something you do to get God to move. It's something you do in response to what God has already done by grace. Man, those are huge statements. It took me 20 years to figure this out and to get where I could say these things. That's because I was religious and I had been brought up under this performance-based mentality. This is what it's talking about. It says that you have access to God's grace through faith. Faith doesn't move God. Faith moves you over to where God has already supplied everything you will ever need by grace. Again, man, that is a powerful truth. This teaching that I have on living in the balance of grace and faith, if the things that I've said here have shocked you or you're saying that this is totally different, I've never heard anybody say things like this, you need to get that teaching on living in the balance of grace and faith. And you can call our offices and the people can give you access to that. You can go to our website and you can get a lot of teaching on that absolutely free. Man, I've got to hurry up, but I could preach on these verses all of today's broadcast, probably all of this week. This is powerful. In verse 3, it says, "And not only so." In other words, you have peace through Jesus. You have access to God's grace through faith. And you stand and you are rejoicing in those things. And it says, "Not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." You know, I would really like to just continue on, but these verses have been so corrupted and used incorrectly that I just have to comment on this. There is a very similar passage in James chapter 1, and let me read that to you. In verse 2, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Now, if you just took those verses and if you weren't already corrupted and prejudiced through false teaching on this, all these verses are saying is that we don't just rejoice when everything's going good, but even when things are going bad, we rejoice because we're going to win even if it looks like we're losing. We can't lose for winning. God is with us and He's going to work everything together for good. That's basically all these verses are saying. But religion has twisted them to say that not only do we come out on the other side of troubles better off, but God is the one who creates these problems and puts them in your life to make you a better person. Now, that is wrong. And again, I'm not going to teach on this. I've got a lot of teaching on this already. But in James chapter 1, it even says in verse 13, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." And then he says, this is just so clear, "Do not err, my beloved brethren, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." That means that there's no exceptions. If you take all of this in context, don't say that God is the one that puts the problems in your life. Don't say that God is, if you're praying for patience, that God is going to send you tribulation. That is not what these verses are saying. It's just saying that we don't only rejoice in the good times, but even when everything goes bad, God is there with us as we apply our faith, stand on the Word of God. We are going to win. We will have an experience that will give us even more confidence as we continue to walk with the Lord. You know, I could give a million examples of this, but I'm just about out of time today. But this is not crediting God as the one who puts problems in your life. If you believe that, it leads to passiveness. Because if God's the one that put these problems in your life, if you resist them, then you'd be fighting against God. And I've had many, many people fight me on this and accuse me of terrible things. And yet, by their own admission, they don't live it. Because people, they'll say, "Well, God put this sickness on me to teach me something." Well, if He did, then why would you go to the doctor and take medication or take surgery trying to get out of God's will? If it's God's will for you to be sick, then why don't you just be sick? If it's God's will for you to be poor, then why are you trying to work and why are you asking God to help you and trying to get more money and working two jobs and doing all of this if God's the one who just willed for you to be a loser? See, that's not true. God does not put problems in our life. God isn't the one putting sickness and poverty on you. But if you will stand and believe God, you can learn some things. I've seen my son raised from the dead. I've seen many people raised from the dead. And because of it, I've got a faith that's stronger now than it was before. But God's not the one that killed my son. God's not the one who's giving you your problems. But man, you can trust God and come out on the other side and you'll have a testimony. Without a test, all you got's a money. So you know what? You'll go through tests, but if you'll stand, then you'll come out with a testimony and you'll be better off for it. You say, "In the name of Jesus, I'm not going by what I see. I go by what the Word of God says. There's more than just this physical realm. There's also a spiritual realm. I don't care what this looks like. I know what God's Word says."
"I was told that I would always have severe asthma and food allergies."
"I was born missing the left side of my heart with a very small chance of living."
"The doctors indicated that I had a permanent brain injury and that I would never function in mainstream society again."
"I'm Tim McDermott, and my brother and I were told that we would never recover from autism. From a young age, I had several diagnoses, including Asperger's syndrome, dysexecutive syndrome, and communication disorders. My brother James was diagnosed with autism before he turned 3. For years, it seemed like we would never be normal. But then my parents stumbled across the healing journey of Hannah Terades. A few weeks later, we went to Andrew's free Grace and Faith conference, where we were healed of autism. Today, 10 years later, I'm still walking in my complete healing, and I am not alone.
I haven't needed my inhaler in years, and now I eat whatever I want.
My heart grew back its missing piece, and the doctors cannot explain it.
Today, I'm completely healed, and I get to teach God's truth about healing."
Because people like you partnered with Andrew Womack Ministries, we have all been given our lives back. We cannot thank you enough for your generosity. But there are still millions of lives out there looking for the same truth that set us free. Will you help us bring this message to them?
The word needs to get out to change people's lives. Please consider a partnership.
Please partner with this ministry. It's amazing.
Please consider being a partner with this ministry.
You know, you may not know these people, but I know every one of these people that you just saw them give a testimony. And I tell you, Jesus changed their life because of our partners. If you've not yet joined with us and become a partner, I ask you to pray about it and join with us today.
Healing is always the will of God for everyone, always.
Man, this has been powerful today. We've already seen hundreds and maybe 1,000 healed.
They are life to those who find them and health to all your flesh. That's kingdom culture.
I'm not hopeless, helpless, and powerless. I mean, I can take back what the enemy has stolen. I can take back my position.
I heard the Lord tell me that he was so excited about healing you that he just couldn't wait.
Andrew is pleased to announce the release of his brand new hardback book titled Romans, Paul's Masterpiece on Grace. This brand new book includes all of Andrew's personal study notes and commentary on the book of Romans, compiled from Andrew's Life for Today Study Bible and Living Commentary. This valuable resource is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. Romans, Paul's Masterpiece on Grace, is also available in a CD or DVD album made from our daily television broadcast. Each of these valuable resources are available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. Today, you heard Andrew's personal revelation on the book of Romans. You can study through the entire Bible with Andrew when you get his continually updated living commentary. Andrew has priced this valuable study tool at only $120. Also today, Andrew's offering the Grace Encounters Volumes 1 and 2 DVDs as his free gift to you when you write or call. This special offer is a $50 value, absolutely free when you contact us today. Or you can get each of these valuable resources as part of the Romans package. This package includes Andrew's Living Commentary, as well as the Romans, Paul's Masterpiece on Grace, hardback book, your choice of either the CD or DVD album, and Grace Encounters Volumes 1 and 2 DVDs. This incredible package has a catalog value of $275, but you can receive all of these valuable resources today for just $197. You can become a Grace Partner or order resources through our website at awmi.net. While there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. You can also order resources or receive prayer by calling our helpline at 719-635-1111. Our helpline is open Monday through Friday, 24 hours a day, and Saturday and Sunday from 7:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Mountain Time. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.